the attention to the mission of Leewood. We are excited, kind of excited, anxious, scared, to be frank with you, okay? we've tried to do the best we could in preparation to be there, the best within our abilities. You know, my pastor often reminded me, he said, listen, if you're waiting to be financially prepared, that will never happen. Because you can keep telling yourself that, and you can, and it'll be the next year. Well, I'm not financially prepared. Well, then it's the next year. I'm not financially, and it'll be over and over and over again. And pretty soon, before you know it, Satan has you in this loop where you just constantly worry about money. We're going to a very affluent area. We ourselves, drinkers, I'll be quite frank with you, we're not affluent in as far as the assets and resources that we have, okay? However, what we do know is what the Great Commission tells us. And what we do know is through the deputation process and our focus and our goal and preparation is to partner with churches just like you all so that we can be on not only deputation full-time, but when we go in there, we be full-time. Because that's what it needs. It needs that quick shot in the arm, a punch, if you will. And that's not just going to happen with the drinkards or the drinkards in South Knollwood alone. It's going to take an army. And we are in a spiritual battle. And actually, I wish I was going to be preaching on that spiritual warfare. But today I prepared a lesson in that of a title, really, of who we are in Christ's eyes. And we were in 2 Corinthians the other night. I'm going to ask you to turn back there to 2 Corinthians. I'll turn there with you. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Okay, so I want to kind of move through this, if you will. So when you get there, you can just look up here so that I know that you have it, okay? Wonderful. I'm going to read this aloud and just go over it with your heart and your mind and what it is that's being spoken about. And it's really going to, the first verse is really going to open up to us what our motivation is, okay? And it's verse 14 of chapter 5 in 2 Corinthians. And he says this right away. He says, for the love of Christ constraineth us. That is our motivation. If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I mean, you know him and you have a personal relationship with him. Okay? This is our motivation. Now, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. Not we are all dead, but that we're all dead, past tense, and that he died for all. That they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Amen. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now, then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead. Be ye reconciled to God. In verse 21 it says, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Let's pray. Gracious Lord in heaven, we do thank you and love you, Lord, for everything in which you've given to us. Certainly we've been blessed beyond measure, Lord. We thank you for the sacrifice that was laid on the cross of Calvary, Lord, so many years ago. And And Lord, in heaven, God, I ask that the windows and doors of this world be shut tight, Lord, that there be no distractions. And even in our physical bodies, as we've seemingly lost an hour of sleep, Lord, we're going to be tired. Lord, some have missed their coffee, and dear God, we're not as alert. And I just ask, Lord, in heaven, that you'd meet with us and allow your presence to resonate so heavy and so thick, dear God, that our attention only be drawn to the truths in which you have in your scriptures this morning. Lord, I pray, God, as this personality stands before the people, that you'd use me as an instrument, as a tool of your teaching and your preaching. Lord, just remove me, get me out of the way. Empty myself of myself and fill me full of the power of the Holy Spirit to deliver your word with accuracy, dear Lord. And I pray, God, that, Lord, it would be articulated how you want. And Lord, God, for the hearers before me, that they would receive the word with gladness, or that they apply it in their lives, that you would receive glory for it. And Lord, but make us doers. Doers of your work, Lord, of the ministry in which you've given us, of reconciliation. Lord, I love you. I thank you, God, for this day in which you've blessed us with. And in Jesus' name, amen. I have been in banking for some odd years, and I was tethered with a corporation that is actually just down the street. As I've been driving here, I've noticed that there was a branch there. And in banking, that would be a retail location. I was a commercial officer, so dealing with different businesses. I represented that company. And so when they heard my name, it was synonymous with the company that I worked for. Well, through that platform that the Lord had given me, I was being faithful in that. I was given opportunities to serve within the community. And that's always a good thing for the banker, right? Because you want to know who they are. You want to maintain and gain a relationship with them. And so through that, I was a part of different civic organizations. Not to distract anything away from my church, but something that it gave me another platform to serve in the community, to have other people get to know me. And through that, I actually was asked to be on boards and serve as chairs. And this, you know, gave me a level of influence that I hadn't really had before. So not only was I representing a financial organization of my employer, but then I started representing these civic groups. And so people started to recognize the name. Now, I live in a town of 128,000 people. Okay, now when you become a person with influence in that city, that circle gets smaller. And so now you start maybe to have a level of playing with individuals that maybe not on common ground with everybody else because of their social status or their affluency. I mean, that's just the world and that's just the way that it is, okay? Paul, you know, some of the disciples couldn't get into some of the places that the Apostle Paul went into. Okay, Apostle Paul knew that he was going to go before Caesar. Not every disciple had that access. But with that being said, is that I'm not comparing myself, by the way, to Paul. All right, I'm just saying that there was a level of status that the Lord blessed me with because of the faithfulness that He saw in me, and that I was able to go into other places that other Christians were not, and I was able to share the gospel and let people know who else I represented, and that was South Knollwood Baptist Church. Here I'm standing before you as a representative of that church. Then even more so, I stand before you as a representative of my pastor. And so as you send out a missionary and a church planner, they're a representative of you and of your pastor. And that's very important. And so here we have the Apostle Paul writing, and he's telling them of what Christ has done for them, reminding them. Just like we would remind our children, right? I kind of prefaced that in the last message. This is the second letter to the same church. Hey, what our motivation is, and he clearly states this, is for the love of Christ. So we're to love others as Christ loved. We're to love him first and foremost, right? But then he goes down in verse 17, he says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. If you're in Christ, you are a new creature. Now, you have now a title. You're starting to gain this title. And he clearly lines that out for us in verses there a little bit below. And it says in verse 20, now then we are ambassadors for Christ. I was an ambassador in Topeka, Kansas for the bank that I worked for. I was an ambassador or diplomat, if you will, for other civic organizations within that city. I was able to actually be a part of a group to where we recruited through application process 36 individuals that had, you know, the background that was necessary to be trained as a community leader. So throughout the entire county, it's about maybe 250,000 proper, and then in the entire city, there was a recruitment process, and we brought in 36 individuals. And right now, they're being trained by a facilitator twice a month, and they'll graduate in May. And that gives them a greater exposure to the city that they've never had before. Being a part of that stage gave me an opportunity to share the gospel. Okay? I'm not going to say there were people who were saved out of it. But I'll tell you this, is that God gave me a greater love for the individuals who are not being pursued because they have money. Or they have what they don't have. So the perception is that have everything. Well, I was able to witness to little kids. I was able to witness to other adults that were coming through the church and in the church and going door knocking, that because we was faithful in one work, he was blessing another. And here we have Apostle Paul. He's teaching and telling us that we are a representative of Jesus Christ. Our motivation is the love for Christ. And here we are, new creatures in Christ. We are now ambassadors or a diplomat of a foreign land, of a foreign country. The most important person that I could ever represent here on earth is my wife. I also represent my family. I carry the Drinkard last name. You do too. You have a last name. You have a family that you represent every single day. And if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you represent Him every single day. In the family, out of the family, in work, out of work, in school, out of school. If you know Christ, you represent Him. He says, in Christ's stead, ambassadors for Christ. First, I just want to let you know is that that's where our authority comes from. It comes from Jesus Christ. He's our advocate. He actually said in John, he said, peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. Send us where? Into the world, right? Well, with this advocate that we have in Jesus Christ, there needs to be some accessibility. We have access to Jesus Christ, our authority, through the Word of God. We can go to Him and glean from His wisdom and fall in love with Him through opening up His Word and understanding His ways and dying to self so that we're, again, maintaining this not to in works maintain, but bear with me, give me liberty here, is that we're new creatures in Christ. So some of those old things had passed away. We're not doing them anymore because of the change that we had through the Word of God in Christ Jesus. We are a child of the King. So with that availability and access that we have in the Word of God, we also have access to the throne of grace. I mean, immediately. Like right now, you can have access to the throne of grace. I hope maybe that your prayer is that you're asking Him to help you stay awake. I mean, we just lost an hour of sleep, right? I want you to know is that we can go to Him in a moment's notice. Amen. Just like my children, they have access to me immediately. Yeah, I know we're driving thousands of miles in a little minivan, but I mean, even when I'm not to be disturbed, they can come up to me. They can run up into my lap. They can run and hug me. They don't have to be afraid. You know, our Heavenly Father said that we can call Him Abba. Amen. That's personal relationship. We don't have to go through any one person to get to Him. We don't have to take a number. We don't have to wait in line. We don't be put on hold. He doesn't shun us away or shoo us away like the disciples did to the children. He said, suffer not the little children. Let them come unto me. And who are we? We are but a child of the King. Amen. We have this access, this wonderful, beautiful access. For we have not a high priest which we that cannot be touched by feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. So, like, if there's anything that was going on in your life here today, whether it be a broken relationship, whether it be health issue, whether it be finances, good or bad, or whatever the case may be, He has suffered. He suffered for us. Yeah, He did it without sin. Therefore, come boldly unto the throne of grace, that what we may obtain mercy. That we may find what? Grace and mercy. That we may find grace in that time of need. So through this advocate of Jesus Christ, in whom our authority comes from, we have this accessibility and we have this availability But we also got to be mindful as we are representatives or diplomats or ambassadors of Jesus Christ, there's going to be some adversities from time to time. These adversities can come in all sorts of different levels. Now, there's one lady at work that I counted as an adversity, constantly coming against, coming against me. It just felt like that. And, you know, there was that tangible evidence of that. But make a long story short, you know, God removed that obstacle to make a way for his child. Amen. I'm really no one. I really am not. I'm not here to say that I'm better than any one person. I'm sitting in the pews today. So are you. I was called out from the pews. I understand adversity. I also understand who the adversary is. There's three enemies: the world, the flesh, and Satan. And Satan will use the world and he'll use the flesh for you to succumb to his temptations to destroy you. Listen, young people, there are temptations that you don't even know that you're facing now that will determine your habits and behavior later. So I pray that you please use the authority that God has given you in your life, parents, pastor, godly teachers, mentor, discipler, and the Word of God, using the Holy Spirit to point you in the direction in which you're to go. Submit, listen and obey. And you know what? That doesn't just go for teenagers or small children. I said that we are a child of the King. We're children too. Adults, we're children. So we have this adversary in the devil. He says he's a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. We understand that we could be destroyed. He's a roaring lion, okay? So the fact is that he does destroy Christians. That's what roaring lions do that's why they're roaring, okay? They're not hunting when they're roaring. They're roaring because they won. They defeated or they captured their prey. So does Satan. When he has that one Christian or that one Christian family and they crumble underneath those temptations and the destruction of sin in their life, then it's easier to get the next Christian family that they had influence over and the next Christian family that they had influence over. And it's a big, long domino effect. The question is, how do we combat that? It says here in the scriptures on how we can do that in verse 15. It says, and that he died for all, that they which live should not live henceforth unto themselves. Paul was writing to the Romans. He said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. Number one, surrender your will to the Lord instead of your will as a dictator. Like you get to dictate your own life, make your own decisions, deciding things in which would fulfill your lusts or your satisfactions. So dying to yourself is number one, but also filling your minds with God's word. So shunning the things that would capture our thoughts and our minds and bringing those into captivity, but also subjecting ourselves to what the Lord has for us. He said, again, in Romans, he said, and be not conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of your mind. Video games captured my mind earlier on. Movies captured my mind earlier on. But as I was in the Word of God and I gave myself over to the things of the Lord, it seemed as though that He captured my mind. And when He was capturing my mind, He had my heart completely. It wasn't given to anything else. Again, Paul writes, casting down imaginations on every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So we have this adversary, real quickly, we have this adversary who's against us, and we have this advocate in Jesus Christ who's for us. And by the way, he's already won, okay? He has the victory. You don't have to worry about trying to defeat Satan. As we've already learned this week, we're to resist Satan. But the adversary wants to disable our access to our authority so that we cannot accomplish our assignment. Now, this is for everybody, okay? If you know Christ, you're an ambassador. If you know Christ, you're a child of the King. You have a responsibility. You have an assignment. And that is the ministry of reconciliation. He says that he's committed that unto us. It says that he has given that to us in verses 18 and 19. This is man's fellowship with God was broken, okay? That was some years ago. But the Son of God came to earth to shed his blood for that sin, okay? The price was paid already on the cross of Calvary. It's already been wiped clean. Forgiveness has already been purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. What that does is it opens up reconciliation, okay? It's nothing that we have to do there. It's already opened up. But man has to accept that gift, just like you accepted it. But it also has to be delivered. That's how you received it. But that's also your responsibility as a church. From the cross, right? Through the church to the world. That's why we have this great commission before us. And how do we do that? Well, he calls faithful stewards. He says, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. That's for everybody who knows Jesus Christ in this room. What are we to be faithful with? Our tattoos, okay? Don't go get a tattoo, okay? That got some of your attention. I saw you perk up there. Your tattoos is your tithe, your assets, your time, your offerings. And you can have all of that if he has ourselves. I want you to think about being that faithful steward and giving yourselves over to him to be that ambassador into the ministry of reconciliation so that we can be faithful to give, faithful to serve, faithful to pray, and faithful to preach. That's the how. That's how we're going to deliver this message of this ministry of reconciliation is through the preaching of his word. And for the sake of time, you can take notes. It's 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. Clearly lays out the gospel. So can God trust you and I as ambassadors to deliver this message? I certainly hope so, because listen, this address is going to change. This world is not our own, right? We're just pilgrims passing through. This address is going to flip. Christian, we're not here forever. So then what does that mean? That means our homes, most importantly, families, husbands. Our homes are to be embassies of heaven. We're ambassadors. Doesn't, you know, just because we have Christians living in a home doesn't make it a Christian home. Right. What makes it a Christian home is that we're living by God's principles and serving him through this ministry of reconciliation. We've given ourselves over as advocates and ambassadors to the authority in our lives so that we have access to him and we can deliver this ministry of reconciliation, giving others access to our advocate so that the adversary has no victory in their lives. So just in conclusion, as you know our King is coming, will you hear what we long to hear from the Lord? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Are we representing him well? Are we the faithful ambassador inside of this ministry of reconciliation? Are we faithful to service? We have an opportunity today to hand in a card of your commitment to the Lord, your investment. But you know what? He already gave that to you. That was his from the beginning. Your time, that's his too. Anything that you have ever put your name to, that was his before you even received it. All things come from him, so might as well just give yourselves over to him if that's the struggle. Lord, I love you and I thank you, God, for this day in which you've blessed us with. Lord, thank you for making us ambassadors for the cause of Christ. Lord, in your stead, Lord, not to replace you, certainly, but God, to do your work in the ministry of reconciliation. Lord, bringing two parties together, man and God. There's no other greater work. Thank you for letting us be a part. Thank you for letting me be a part of it as well. Lord, I love you. I thank you, God, for everything which you've done for us. In Jesus' name.